Listen to what the man says, right? Yeah. Paul McCartney and Wings.
Good morning. Well, I saw some dads come in that have babies, that this may sort of be the first weekend they've ever had their babies alone. That you had help, though, didn't you? Yeah. But boy, it is. He did it? Did it? Changed diapers, everything, huh? Yeah. Well, coach should. So it is an eye-opener, though. When your wife leaves for two full nights, it was not any problem for me. I just want you to know there is a season in your life where it's not a problem. But boy, it's kind of fun to see. Life has this way of causing us to appreciate one another, and this is one of those events where a young man that's healthy, that's hardworking, and has two full days and two long full nights. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So ladies are on retreat this week, and I have their, they always take a picture after dinner on Saturday night, so I think I have that. I gave it kind of at the last minute. Beautiful shot, yeah. Yeah, I brag probably about this and a bunch of you, gals, not you guys, but the gals. This church has the most unbelievable women in it, and I don't know why. I mean, but I'm serious, and it's been that way for years. And you guys that have been around know, and they're all ages, and it's just one of the things that it's not that I'm proud of, like I did it, but they're here, and the richness in these women and you gals that are in this room is just unbelievable. And it, in terms of flypaper catching flies, this may not go well because I didn't plan this. But my thinking is, because of who you guys are, there should be young women from this whole beach community diving in here to get to know you. And if they get to know you, they may have to deal with Jesus along the way, because me. So, but I think you know what I'm saying. And it's just I watch it multiply. I think of little pieces of fruit along the way. I think of the group that came in because of Shauna and Tiffany, and however all that happened. And it's just fun to watch, you know, because we're going to talk a little bit about fruit today. And so enough about that. I could just go on and on, obviously, and I should stop. But I'm really, they had a great weekend. Speaker was good, from what I understand. I didn't check her out, but she was authentic and real and got into some deep issues. You guys will hear about it. So today's theme, be careful. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you submit yourself to, because some people can really mess you up. They can take advantage of you, and you're going to see that. Jesus is going to bring that out today. And it's a personal responsibility he's going to give to each of us as we wander through these verses. Four preachers. You may have heard about these guys. I don't know. But they were men that met together for a friendly gathering, just hanging out, four pastors. And during the conversation, one preacher said, you know, our people come to us, and they pour out their hearts, confess certain sins and needs. How about we do the same with one another? And the room turned serious. You know, we're having fun. You had to ask that, didn't you? So in due time, all of them agree. One of them said that he had a problem with losing his temper on occasions, that he just sort of had a short fuse, and every once in a while, it would explode. The second confessed to liking to smoke cigars. It's not like every day, but around the fire pit, a good cigar is my friend. And he just admitted it. And the third confessed to liking golf so much, that he would take fake being sick so he could play on weekends. Not all every weekend, obviously, but just regularly. And when it came to the fourth guy, he's sitting there quiet as a mouse. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, said, "Come on, man. Come on, we confessed ours. What is your secret sin? What is your secret vice?" And finally, he answered. He said, "It's gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here." I gotta go. That was pretty good, huh? When the ladies are here, that laughter is much more. I just want you to know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together and be in this room to attempt to have touch with you. Jesus, we want you not only in our lives as Savior, as Messiah, as the Lord of our life, but we want to learn the process of letting you reign inside of our heart and inside of our mind with a willingness. We want you welcome in our life. So Lord, help us in that pursuit. Jesus, we welcome you to this room, and we ask you to touch us by your Spirit, through truth, certainly, and just allow today to make sense to us, to build a hedge of protection around us because of what you say today. Lord, we want to live wise, and we know apart from you, wisdom is in question. So Lord, feed into us. Thank you for all that we have, all that we are, all that you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series around the commandments of Jesus, and it's birthed out of Matthew 28:19, where he says, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And then he says, there's a tag there, and it's in every one of your Bibles, by the way. And it says, "And teach them all that I've commanded you." So what we're trying to do in this series, as most of you in the room know, is we're breaking them down item by item, where it seems clear that Jesus wanted us to do something, a command, if you will, and to try to grab onto those for ourselves so that we ourselves can be united with him, so that we can be in sync with him in whatever way we can. And then beyond that, so that we can potentially teach others that kind of life. Living out the principles of Jesus every day is the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. And to sign up on the dotted line to say, that's me. I don't want to just believe in Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing, to believe in him. It's a big deal for your future. But to get to a place where you sign up and you say, I want to live out in my everyday life the principles of Jesus all day long, that's yeoman's work. It's not easy in a world that does not care about him, that doesn't value what he says, that doesn't value how he thinks, for us to say, let it be me, let it be me. So today we're looking at the 20th command of Jesus. And I've been talking over the months about creating a wrap with each of the commands in it. And I'm not going to give that to you today, okay? Just want you to know. Just relax. Go easy, all right? But the request from Jesus today is about our protection, yours and mine. And he's trying to keep us safe, which is a beautiful thing to think of. If you had all power, parents, over your kids, how safe would they be? Completely. They'd have armed guards around them, especially if they were girls, right? Right? Dads, come on. Thank you, men. Thank you. They would probably dress just a little bit differently, but that's just another subject. We won't get into that, all right? But in this idea of us being protected and being safe, he gives us some responsibility along the way. So you're going to get responsibility from what he asked, this command today. And if we listen and accept what he's talking about, we end up protected. It's that simple. It's that simple. The truth is, we as people, at least I guess I speak for myself, we like new things. We just do. We like, ideas. We want to live an enlightened life there's so much happening with technology, and it seems so far out there for those of us that kind of chase it a little bit, that you never get your whole hands around it. Now they're all talking about AI, and they're talking about UBI, Universal Basic Income. We don't want to get into that stuff. We'll leave it alone. But life is changing right before us. I mean, right now, right here, things are getting different. We all kind of feel it when we got our ear to the ground. I guess maybe to the internet or Drudge. Enough about that stuff. Gadgets and ideas, they capture us. They just do. I'm assuming you're a little bit like me. It's fascinating. They grab our thinking. New stuff. And the big idea today, more than anything, is to be careful. Yeah, be careful. Everything you hear isn't true. It isn't. Learn to be a wise listener is what Jesus is going to tell you. And it really matters. Okay, with that in mind, or that out of the way, false prophets are dangerous. We're going to call them FPs today. So FP means false prophet from this point on for the next 10 years. Okay? So number one in there in your notes, false prophets can look good. This is what Jesus tells us. Again, we're just narrating the passage. Nothing deep today. The thoughts are deep, but this is real basic stuff. But not everybody who claims to belong to God and to speak for God does. That's the real message here. And that probably doesn't come as any surprise. But the responsibility he's going to give us in a little bit with that in mind is a pretty big deal. Jesus is telling us as we go, travel, hunt for, towards that narrow gate, that narrow way that we talked about last week, be careful. Watch out. Trouble lies ahead, and it's ferocious, and it can be vicious, and it's got your neck in mind. Pretty serious. Look at Matthew 7:15. You excited? It's ferocious. I tried to throw out some male, you know, tough guy after an MMA fight last night that was free, which was wonderful. All right, verse 15. He says this. He says, watch out. Watch out. And Jesus is communicating the dangers ahead. And the idea is to be on guard or beware. And literally, as you're going to see in a moment, we're to hold our mind back from something. Literally, that's what it means. He says, watch out, Jim and everybody else in the room, for false prophets, FPs. False prophets are more than wrong. They're dangerous. They may not even know what's going on in their life, mind, and supposed ministry. But they're destroyers, and that's what he's going to spell out. He's saying, do not expose your mind to false prophets. These guys introduce destructive heresies that just mess everything up. They deny that Jesus is God. It's always fascinating to talk to somebody that says, you know, I don't believe Jesus is God. How can Jesus be God? It's a fascinating thing to discuss with somebody. And, you know, I do it in a very friendly way as best I can. But if you don't believe listen, if you don't believe Jesus, it's going to be pretty firm today. Didn't see this coming. Whenever, Chase, I get away from my notes, I usually get in trouble. But I'm just telling you, as nicely and as brotherly as I can, if you do not believe that Jesus is God, you're not going to heaven. That's how serious this subject is. You know, I can say that, you know, but when I talk to a guy or a gal that doesn't believe he's God, I don't tell him that. But that's the truth, the absolute truth. So, you know, just park that one there just for fun. That was just for fun. That was free. You don't have to pay anything for that. In the New Testament, these FPs, or false prophets, are called false brothers, false apostles, false teachers, and false Christs. They literally set themselves up as fake messiahs, as if they were the real Messiah. The Bible goes on to say, they come to you in sheep's clothing. So what does this mean? They look good. They look very good. Sharp. They may be smarter than the guy who's the real shepherd, which wouldn't be hard in my case. But they can look together. They are sneaky. They look godly. They can even look like they're following Jesus. They can get a good rap going. A good rap. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Just sneaky stuff. But inwardly, on the inside of their life, the Bible says this about them. They are ferocious or ravenous wolves. That's what they are. They're destroyers. They're dangerous. They're looking for blood. Wolves were the most common enemy of sheep in Palestine, and they are today out in the middle of nowhere. I read some things about wolves that I thought, why bother telling them? Where one wolf pack killed 176 sheep and only ate a few of them. This killed them. They like killing. They were known for being merciless and ferocious. They're clever and constantly on the lookout for new victims. They learn, they're so cunning, they learn how to pick off the weakest and the slowest and the youngest that are in the back of the line, one at a time. Very dangerous. It's what they do. It's what they do. Even though they look good, they look good. False prophets are dangerous to God's people just as wolves are to sheep. In that same way, they want to destroy you. They're deceptive. They're cunning. They prey on the weak. They don't come after the strong. They're smarter than that. They look good on the outside, but they don't stand for or teach truth. They teach shades of truth. They moderate God's word. They would never say to you what I said 3 minutes ago, that if you don't believe Jesus is God, you don't go to heaven. They would never make that kind of statement. It sounds divisive. It sounds harsh. The truth can be very harsh. There has always been a large market for false prophets, and there always will be, because most don't want to hear the truth. They want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear anything unpleasant. Why do you think we have the bagels and the donuts out there? Because I know sometimes this stuff sends people away. And I'm not being a false prophet because of the donuts, because it's basically for the young people to make them enjoy church. But that's just wise. That's got to be in the Bible somewhere, all right? So Jesus wants us to watch out for FPs, each one of us in our lives, to be on guard and understand they can look good, really close. Look at the screen. 1 John 4:4 says this, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Everybody that's still, just don't believe people because they speak or present something, but test the spirits, test them. Line up what they say based on what the scripture says, what you know to be true, what you've heard from truth tellers in the past, to see whether they are from God or not. And we're smarter than we know. And we need to test that, because many false prophets, many, circle the word many, not a few, many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Put them to the test. Check them out, is what Jesus is saying. Don't just blindly follow. You have some responsibility here. And speaking of tests, one man wrote, shortly before I came to the United States in 1983, I attended a healing meeting in Cape Town, South Africa. It was winter, and the meeting was held outside in a very large tent. We all wore winter clothes and coats. The preacher, who had a large following in South Africa, preached a message that even I, as a yet untrained theologian, found problematic. It didn't sound right. You know that sniff test, whatever that is? At some point during the meeting, he started calling people up to be healed. I will never forget a young girl about 11 years old sitting in front of me. She had the worst case of skin eczema I had ever seen. I could only see her hands and face, but they were oozing with pus. At one point, she turned to her mother and said in a different language, Miskinen Van Dan, Mammy, Miskinen Van Dan, which means, maybe tonight, Mommy, maybe tonight. That poor girl never got healed, at least not that night. she had the misfortune of listening to a false teacher who was like waterless clouds, promising much but delivering nothing. Maybe you're saying to yourself that I'm being a little harsh on that preacher. A little harsh. A year or two after I was in the United States, I heard that a medical physician challenged the preacher to produce tangible evidence that people were getting healed. Apparently, the preacher saw an opportunity to gain more attention in his life. So he agreed to have the doctor examine people who were healed when they attended a meeting. Well, the meeting came, and with great anticipation and apparently a great deal of national attention, the meeting began at 7 p.m., and by midnight, no one had been healed. No one had been healed. The preacher had been shown to be a false teacher. So false teachers are like waterless clouds. And I've told you my story. One time on TV, I saw a guy that was reaching out. You know, I guess they slay people in the spirit. I'd like to see him slay me in the spirit, but that's no story. He put his hand out. I know I've told you this before. And apparently, he had hurt his thumb, and he had a Band-Aid on it. And, you know, I'm a simple guy. But I'm thinking in my mind, why don't you start with the scratch on your thumb? I'll never forget the story, and I didn't make this up. It's just that, you know, some people like that, and some people go, I got to find another church. But number two, let's keep moving. He goes on. Watch. Jesus is saying, watch their actions and their attitudes. Watch them. Be on guard. Jesus tells us how to identify them, basically, here in the next part of the text. It's difficult because they're so, so deceptive. They look as if they belong because they have sheep's clothing on. They may even have a really big Bible that's marked. Part of why they're so dangerous is because of what they look like. They look good. Jesus tells us to watch their actions because actions turn into fruit. Good or bad, actions turn into fruit. They just always do, yours and mine, and especially a spokesperson. Jesus says their fruit tells a lot. Tells a lot. Their fruit shows who they are. Look at it in verse 16. What the heck are we talking about? By their fruit, what they produce in their own life and in the ministry that they have the privilege of being in charge with, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Interesting words used here. You'll identify them. You'll know them. You'll figure it out. Look closely. Is there a desire in their life and heart and words for Jesus or for self? Do they want to be heard or do they want other people to get it? And, you know, you poor people that have to listen to me for 30 or 40 minutes every week, and some of you come back every week. I mean, I don't know how many Sundays poor Carlos has been here. But sometimes I pray for him and I say, God, can he do another one? But my point is you know me on some level. Some of you know me behind the scenes because we're friends or something, whatever, the past. But you're smart people. I mean, you're South Bay. You're already cool. I mean, you're South Bay people. But he says, you know, what does somebody want for you, really, when you get down to it? And he goes on to say, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Wouldn't be wise. Or figs from thistles? The answer is you don't. You don't. Grapes don't grow on thorn bushes. Figs don't grow on thistles. And if they did, you wouldn't pick them. Likewise, he says, interesting, we're going to visit this a little bit, the rest of today, but likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. If you're a tree that is good, and he's saying this figuratively, obviously regular trees do the same. When he's using it as a symbol for people. But a good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. It's like the law of nature. Luke explains, and you're going to see it on the screen in chapter 6, verse 45, he says, A good man, this would be a Jesus follower, a God lover, a person with faith in God. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. So he's got a life that's been fed into. that's been changed. Okay, as you read ahead, now I'll join you. And an evil man, evil guy, a guy that's all about self, self-interest, self-concern. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. There's a storehouse in every one of our hearts. And he goes on, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So one of my questions today is, what are you full of? I'm stopping there. But it's a great question for us to self-examine regularly in our life. What am I filling my life up with? What matters most to me? What are my values, my core ones that are the most important to me? What are the things I talk about? This is one of the things why I always push the Jesus conversation. I want to get every one of you comfortable with Jesus in a way that I know the world at large, if you bring up Jesus, the conversation just ends. It just ends. Not with me. Be careful if you get in it with me, because I'll talk to you almost all night, if you're willing. If it's just me talking, after about 3 minutes, I'll stop. But if you engage back, woohoo, baby, let's go. Let's go. Let's run. Got too excited there. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is a principle of life. In other words, what's inside of us comes out. The truth comes out. That's just a matter of time. And Jesus is giving us relational wisdom here, beyond our message today. Not only in picking a pastor, and it's your responsibility to pick a pastor. I always tell people, and I say this carefully, but if my voice grows dull to you, it is your responsibility to go find another pastor if you're in an area. Because a pastor is a big deal in your life. He's the one that's going to push you. You let him push you every week. And it's such a privilege. It's a high privilege and high call. But not only in picking a pastor, but also in choosing a potential mate if you're single. I mean, the idea of living with somebody the rest of your life, even if they're nice, that just could care less about Jesus, the thing you love the most or want to love the most, that's a war. And some people get stuck in it and they ought to stay. But those of you would speak even louder than me up here. Choose well, my friends. Any friends? Who you choose as your friends? I always say to parents, and it's really frightening, but whoever your three best friends are and what they're doing, your kid's doing. And it was true for you. Whatever your three or four best friends, when you were a senior, were doing, you were doing. It's part of life. So when you choose friends that want to go somewhere, that want to live the right way, and I know it's hard for teenagers, and God bless them. We just can't wait till they're 25 and get them back on track. I got it. Choosing a business partner. If you're going to get in bed, you know what I mean by bed, and partner up with somebody that could care less about God, what are you thinking? Now, if you're stuck in it, maybe you can't get out. But don't move into that on your own. One huge problem for the FP is, as we've mentioned, self-interest. They're concerned about themselves. The TS, which is true shepherd, TS and FP, got it? TS. Cares for the flock. The FP, or wolf, if we can use it, because Jesus did, wants to satisfy their hunger. And it doesn't matter what it is. If they've got a hunger, because it's about them, what are they hungry for? They're going to try to chase after that and chomp on it and get it. The FP is in the business of teaching for what they can get out of it. Notoriety, money, being heard, it's a privilege. I mean, come on, I get to stand up here. Why you grown adults that are highly educated will sit there and listen to me still? It baffles me. It makes me laugh during the week. So, and you think I'm kidding. What are you doing listening to me? And the only thing I can do is blame Jesus. That's all I got. Some of you are educators. Why would you listen to a C student guy? The only reason is because of Jesus. Yeah. Maybe they want to be a somebody, but they're getting something out of it. That's what FPs do. The TS, or true shepherd, is doing it to serve God and people. It needs to be your motivation, and it's never perfect. Nobody's without ill motives in their life, but that runs their life. and not what they get for themselves, because they want to help others. They want to assist people. They attempt to add to people, especially with truth. The true shepherd does. A good shepherd teaches folks to love Jesus and models it himself or herself. Jesus warns us that these false prophets seem harmless. They're just talking. They're just chatting you up. But they are out to destroy. Watch their actions and attitudes over time, right? Number three, let's keep moving. You excited? You learning?
Yes.
You hope this goes somewhere? Huh? I don't know if it's gonna. Remember, I've been without my wife the last four nights. It's been a rough week. All right, number three. Jesus tells us we can only produce what we are for them and for us. We are all production machines, every one of us. Everyone, that's what we do. We're production machines. We're built to work, to produce, to create, to love. It's what we do. And some of us do different things better than others. And we sometimes team up. We learn from each other. We're production machines. That's what we are. It's how we're built. We think. We create. Look at what automation has done the last 100 years. It's silly. But it's mankind being challenged and learning and trying to succeed. It's amazing what's happened. Yet we have one key limitation, and he kind of points that out here. We can only produce what we are. That's all, especially in this area of fruit that Jesus focuses on. A lemon tree can never push out an avocado. Try as hard as it might. It can't do it. An avocado can't create a pineapple. It just can't. And we all just understand that. Of course, Jim, yes, I got it. You can only produce what you are. Well, what are we talking about? Look at verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Not going to happen. You get on the good side of things, you get filled with the love of God in your life. You can't bear bad fruit. He goes on to say, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. It's impossible. Can't do it. Can't be done. Verse 19, Jesus adds another little tidbit, kind of a big deal, especially if you're on the wrong side of the ledger. He says, every tree, everyone, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What's he saying? They have no value. It's sad to even say that. They're firewood. The firewood. And Jesus, by the way, says this in a number of places. John 15. And people have a hard time with this, and I do too. The thought that somebody that pushes away and says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus as firewood bothers me. I mean, I hurt for them. The destiny of the FPs is not good. False prophets. They'll be destroyed. They're heading to destruction. Their day of judgment is coming. And the saddest news of all is they are taking people along with them. They destroy others along the way, which is horrific. Number four. That's the last point today, too, isn't it? No? Another reality Jesus points out is that FPs, false prophets, if you didn't figure that out by now, disciples end up like them. They end up like them. We become in part what our leaders are. That's what he's saying here. If you allow somebody to be a mentor in your life, a piece of them is going to stick in your life. How are you, Christy? I just saw you there. Welcome from Seattle. And no sunshine for you today. I'm so sorry. So sorry. June gloom. Seattle reality, okay? So I'm not picking on Seattle. It's a beautiful place. Lakes and green and great food. Fish and Starbucks. Okay, back to the text. Paul tells us this. He says, follow me as I follow Jesus or as I follow Christ. How do we know that? Look at 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11, verse 1, says this, follow my example. how I live, what I do, as I follow the example of Christ. The picture is he's holding on to Jesus, and he's got a hand down here, and he's saying, come on, come on. Like the Coast Guard lifeguards when they're helping people up, you know. And that's the picture of your life and mine. Would it be like this all day long with our hand wide open down here and this one clasping on him? Just your hands on Jesus the rest of your life. Nothing's more important than him. And if you ever make that decision, you start finding freedom. Jesus starts showing up in your life. Not physically, like, here I am, ta-da. But you feel his presence. You sense his smile as you live. That's a beautiful way to live. Look at Matthew 7:20. What are we talking about? Thus, in summary, is the idea. With all this in mind, Jesus repeats what he said in verse 16, so that we get it. He wants us to get this. He wants us to learn this. He wants us to live this. By their fruit, not only their actions and attitudes, but also the folks that follow their teaching. By their fruit, you will recognize. Recognize is to identify, to literally be able to call out. Not necessarily that you're going to fix them or stop them, because you maybe can't. It's not your job. You don't have to fix people. By the way, if you're a fix-it person, just join me. Stop right now. You can't fix anybody. You can't even, no offense, fix yourself. Don't try to fix people. It's so frustrating. What you get to do, if you listen to Jesus, you get to love them. We're all broken. We're all messed up somewhere. Leave it alone. That was just, again, another free little moment of advice. Because I'm telling you, there's such great freedom in not bearing the burden that I got to fix somebody. Because you can't. If we could, we would. Goes back to the healer. If I had that kind of power, you wouldn't see me anymore. I'd go from Little Company of Mary, because it's the closest. Then I'd go right over to Torrance Memorial. And I'd go right to Tom Freeman's house and help his wife, who's in hospice, have a healthy life. One of the most healthy women we've ever had in this church has run more miles and cared for her body appropriately. I'd go heal her today. I'd leave you in a second. Didn't see that coming. You'll be able to recognize, you'll spot it. It's what Jesus is saying. This is our responsibility. You'll recognize them. Over time, you'll figure out what an FP is. Watch, wait, show patience. It doesn't show right away. It takes time. There's no instant fruit, folks. Fruit takes time. Look at who their disciples are. What are they like? What's important to them? That's how you figure it out. Jesus wants us to be good at certain things. And one of them is being a FP detector. Seriously, for you. We need to build a radar system. That's his command today. Don't subject yourself to that junk. And I could use different words, but I'll stick with junk. He wants us to be careful who we listen to. This culture, I talk about it all the time, I know. It has like a vice grip clamp. And when it gets a hold of somebody, especially a young person, it doesn't let go. It doesn't let go. It's hard to get away from it. I get nervous. I see all this graduation stuff, and fortunately, we're pretty much done with that. It's not sad for us. Don't feel sorry for us that we don't have to go to any more eighth grade or high school graduations. We're okay with that. We're okay. But there is a sadness because I've watched kids that have grown up around a family of faith, and they go off as freshmen to a secular society, and they are screwed up before Christmas. They're drinking harder and harsher than they ever have in their life. If they didn't smoke pot before, now they've figured out, ooh, I know why that smells so good now. Not just that. But a lot of you live through the university, and you know what you did. The liberal mindset that just runs things. Oh, boy, I'm getting in danger zones here. Please, please, please. Jesus would say, please, please. Be careful who you listen to, and don't let that vice grip grab hold of you. and sees you. Well, what does he teach us? Number one, Jesus asks us here pretty clearly to evaluate leaders. I don't even like saying this, but that's what he says. By asking in your mind, you don't have to ask them, you can if you want, but who are they? Who are they? What do they teach? Where does their authority come from? What do they want in life, really? If you listen to somebody regularly, you know so much about them, it's a little frightening. What do they want me to do, the person I'm listening to them? What do they want me to really do? What is their goal for me? What is it? What if all their dreams came true? What would that be, as best you could understand? You start playing out those journalism questions there, and you can figure out who anybody is. And by the way, you can turn that light on yourself, too. But right now, we're talking about evaluate leaders, because they're the FPs. They're the ones up front. And they're the ones that are dangerous. They're the ones that are wolves, oftentimes, in sheep's clothing. In James 3:1, it says this about leaders. It says, not many of you should become teachers. Don't. Be careful what you sign up for. My fellow believers, James says, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Same way with the police officer. You've got a gun and a badge, and there is some enormous responsibility that you possess. Evaluate and choose well, my friends. That's what watch out means. All right, number two. Fruit tells us who we are and others are. We produce what we are. That's just the truth. It's true for everyone. That's why who you're becoming is so important in life. This isn't just true of others and of leaders, but all of us. This statement here has a mirror attached to it that you need to look into. Fruit in life is a communicator, whether it's good or bad. Fruit is actions and attitudes and hopefully changed lives that you've assisted in. I'll never forget my daughter Stacy, probably 15 years ago. She married a guy named Scott that grew up in PV. Nice kid, hardworking kid. Actually worked for Donald Trump for 10 years. Believe it. Huh. It's not a subject. Donald Trump fired him. You think I'm kidding, right? I'm not. But he, Scott, nice guy. A fruitful man. They've got 7 kids. And he's a woodworker. He's moving from Montana to Oklahoma right now with my daughter and kids. But being a pastor's kid isn't fun all the time. When you marry a pastor's kid, if you're shy, it's less fun. And adults came up to him and greeted him. He could not handle it. So Stacy had to leave. And I fully understood back then. I've never told you this story, have I, Gil? And it was sad. It's hard, but, you know, she did. So she looked for a church. And she went to this church in PV. It doesn't matter which one it is. And because she's a bright gal, and she went up to the pastor and asked him some questions. And he was fascinated by her. He's a pastor's kid. She could mess him up quick, okay? So she knows the inside. But they were talking, and she asked him, while she's sort of interviewing him, she says, how many baptisms have you done this year? He goes, well, none. She goes, really? Because she's used to being at the Dewhurst pool or out here, you know. It's what's normal for her. People get saved. It's not about the numbers, but. And he said, well, we baptized 2 people, I think, a year ago or 2. And she goes, why do you think that is? This 21-year-old sitting there, not angry, no anger, no anger. And he says, you know, I ask the same question all the time. He was, this is a real guy, it's not a bad guy. But I'm just telling you, fruit is a privilege when it happens, when you're part of the process of taking somebody from not believing to believing. Oh, whew, that's better than any great supper you could ever have. It's a beautiful thing. Number three and last. You thought there was only three that we just fire through this and be done, huh? FPs, you remember what it is, false prophets. Are destructive, and sadly, they're normal. They're normal. Destructive meaning they hurt people. They set people up for failure. They damage people. They hurt history. And then when you have to live that history, you have to continue to forgive what bad men and women have done to you. And it affects you. It just does. It's like abuse. So it's destructive, and it's normal in that they're everywhere. Some of them don't necessarily speak for God, but they want to take you down a track. Let me just throw it out there. Scientology, please. Please. I'll stop there. They may pick at us next week. You can't spot them right off, because they can be good. Jesus told us that. They look like a sheep. And the saddest part is what they do, like everybody else, they reproduce themselves. So what happens is you've got somebody messed up training some other people to be all messed up and be far away from Jesus. Jesus says, be spiritual. Go to church. But be close with Jesus. Be in love with him. Live for him. Love him all out. Are you kidding me? This side of heaven, we're stuck with them, false prophets. Get used to it, and watch out. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together and talk about you, and I pray that you just protect each and every one of us, that we take to heart what you've said here, and not so much be aggressive and try to stop people, but just live wise and live loving truth and loving you as fully as we possibly can. Thank you for today. Thank you for good words. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a great day. Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say,